This is episode 144 of Drunk on Comics, brought to you by InkWhiskey.com and Motor City Comic Con. Controversy this week, dude.
Yes. I mean, I'm glad that it's like only us two, so we can just have two opinions on the controversy, because no one else likes to show up.
Hey, guys, are we recording yet?
Who is that?
Oh, no, if that was Matt saying that, I'd be like, who? What?
Actually, if Matt was saying that, we'd probably redline and have to start all over again. Sorry, Matt's loud, sorry.
Yeah. Well, guys, my name's Derek.
My name's Tony.
Kevin, hi.
And welcome back to another, I'm sure to be exciting episode of Drunk on Comics.
Yes.
I think we could say it that
it's
it
a little
will be.
Presumptuous of you. Because you, we might have some new listeners.
Well,
welcome back.
Oh, well, okay. Welcome to the new people, and welcome back to the old.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah.
In with the new, out with the old? Is that what we're trying to say?
No. In with all.
get rid of this.
In with all. So, a couple little notes here. I think just to kick off.
I'm sorry, I've been away for a while, but are we changing the format of the show?
Well, no. But
I thought we started with our review segment, whatever that's segments called these days.
Off the shelf, the same it's always been.
And then we do news and notes.
Well, no, this is
now you're talking about just notes.
Yeah, this is just something newsworthy for our fans and listeners and you know, people like that. You may notice a couple little glitches here and there on the website and perhaps on like our iTunes and stuff like that here over the next week or so as we were making updates to stuff. So need not be worried. We're just making things better.
Yes, hopefully sooner than later.
Yeah.
It's coming a little bit of a bitch, but it should get the glitches out soon.
Yeah.
I don't know. That sounded like old person talk. Oh, the darn technologies.
Which the best thing is out of the three of us here, the one that uses the old person speak the least is Tony. We're the ones that always, you know, like have the old the weird ones, like it's raining harder than an old cow pissing on a flat rock.
I busted that one out the other day.
And how'd it go?
Crickets.
It was silence and silent nodding.
silent nodding.
Yeah. Even though I don't know how that nodding becomes loud, like a bad neck or something.
But. Or you have like BBs in your mouth and it's just like. So, all right, guys. You never had a mouthful of BBs before?
Why would you put a mouthful of BBs in your mouth?
Well, if you got three handfuls, you only got two hands. Where are you going to put the third handful?
Touché.
Exactly. So, all right, guys. We should probably get things kicked off here with Off the Shelf, which is once again brought to you guys by Motor City Comic Con. And I'm looking forward to this one. The guests just keep getting announced. More and more people every day, and the media lineup is insane. So if you guys like the media guests, this is definitely your year. The Artist Alley is you know, fucking amazing as always. But Motor City Comic Con is happening May 15th, 16th, and 17th at the wonderful Suburban Collection Showplace. Damn it, I got the Showcase Showdown stuck in my head again. Beautiful Novi, Michigan. Go to MotorCityComicCon.com and check out all the information. Get your tickets in advance. And, yeah, come see us. Because that's the main reason anybody wants to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that and the fact that, like, half the Walking Dead cast is there. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
I think we're the big draw. Bunch of silent nodding going on. Here, hold on. Let me get you guys some BBs. All right, who wants to kick it off this week? Okay, I will, since the silent stares are going with it.
Well, I mean, I got so many good things to talk about. We just...
I'm just trying to think of doing a review with Beeblies in my mouth. That's how I think BBs would be in my mouth, because I've never been that dumb to do it, so...
Well, like I said, when you have three handfuls of BBs, you figure out what to do. But actually, it probably is good that I'm kicking this off, because speaking of silent nodding, I'm going to talk about Batgirl Endgame, which is a one-shot. Kevin's nodding. And this is very fitting, because this is a silent issue where there are no actual dialogue balloons.
Oh, see, now I'm regretting not picking that up, because that speaks to me.
The art. No, actually, it doesn't speak to anyone, because there's no real words in this.
Fuck you.
But yeah, I mean, like, there's the closest thing that they have, like, you know, like you see like a little like icon and a word balloon type of thing, but. And there's little ha-ha-has running in the background, because basically this issue... Oh, I'm sorry. Let me give a little credit here first. Cameron Suhr and Brendan Fletcher are the writers, and Bengal did the art and color on this. Jared K. Fletcher did do letters on this, because there are a couple spots where, like, you see, like, just little things.
You see, like newsprint or...
Yeah.
Or the screenshots. Because, I mean, Batgirl's very... No, it's hip on the technology.
Yeah, well, yeah. She
have her do our website.
can't be worse. But, yeah, so basically what we've got going here is this is, there's a virus running through Gotham City called the Endgame virus. And
is it spelled funny?
No, it's one word.
How would you spell Endgame funny?
I don't know. There's always clever ways.
Endlolgame.
I'm just saying, like, there's cool with a K. I'm not.
I don't know. Maybe put like put a Z on the end. Endgames.
Well, that's how I always abbreviate, or how I end plurals.
Yeah.
A Z.
Yeah, that's.
I'm trying to let people know I'm cool. I'm hip. I'm happening.
It's not working. But anyway, so this Endgame virus is basically the Joker has spread a virus. Now, I will admit I'm not fully up to date on all of what's going on in DC. I read Batgirl for a few issues. I liked it, and then I missed one or two of the last ones. And then we'll come back to the new Batgirl here later on today. Which I did pick that up. So, and I don't read anything else DC currently, so I don't know if this is something that's going on throughout the whole, you know, DCU. So I apologize, but this was interesting because I read this one not knowing anything, and it's a little difficult when you don't know the fucking backstory and it's a silent issue. It's the reason I wanted to talk about this is that the creators here, when you don't know what's going on, if this is the first issue you picked up, you still have a great understanding of who the character is. And that's what I liked.
This is a one-shot, right?
It's a one-shot.
I'm imagining the artist, though, kind of like us, just shaking his head yes, like when he's doing it, like just not talking, just like, mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's
as I just shake my head and
yeah. Listeners at home, they're nodding too, because they're not alone. It's like, yeah, you guys agree? Yeah? Everybody's shaking their head. But what Bengal did here on this, you know, it's a really interesting story, because this is kind of one of those things where I imagine that that Stuart and Fletcher basically come up with a basic idea and a plot line, and then you more or less are going to let the artist have fun with it and tell it in the way. Now, obviously, there are certain key points. This is actually kind of a scary little story, because, you know, it says that the virus is 97% spread throughout Gotham City. So the people that aren't infected are terrified, because you have all these crazy people that have the little Joker smiles going to them. That it almost reminds me of a zombie outbreak. in this. And there are a couple panels in there. One where you see people like trying to escape over this wall that reminded me a lot of like the World War Z, where you saw the zombies like climbing up each other. It kind of had that whole idea to it. But it's fun because there is some communication going on in here between characters, and they either use small icons to, you know, run things across, or you actually see, like, in one part...
You mean small icons, like emojicons?
Yeah, like a little emojis. Yeah.
Okay.
Like, you kind of see that is kind of filling in where you need. But then you also see, like, there's one portion where Barbara Gordon is trying to save a little girl who's trapped on top of a school bus, and she manages to get her attention, get her to look at her, but she doesn't want to make any noise. She doesn't want the little girl to make any noise because she doesn't want her drawing attention. And so you see her basically using not like legitimate sign language, but, you know, using nonverbal communication to communicate with this girl. And it's kind of a fun way to tell the story in there. But I was really impressed overall. I mean, it's a great action story, too, because of the fact that there's so much that has to be shown rather than told. It's a really fun way of doing that. And there were a couple little things in here that I did want to point out, and I cannot find the one emoji that cracked me up the most. Kevin, are you familiar with the little emoji that looks like a smiling smiling pile of poo?
Yeah. I was joking. Like, oh, you want?
Oh, did you actually say poo?
Yeah, yeah. It said poo.
Yeah. Well, there's one part where she pulls out like her little gun thing or whatever, little taser, and apparently she's out of energy or ammo or whatever, and her little speech balloon has the poop emoji. And I thought that was pretty awesome.
You know, that's... I find a way to incorporate that into my book if I created one.
Yeah.
And I was going to leave words off.
You just want to put poop in there?
Just poop. Yeah.
Well, it's like the best emoji con.
My favorite... I like to combine the emojis. Well, there...
Okay. There's one
like it's like a foot, like, tapping its toe down.
Okay.
And then there's another one for a camel, so I just like to put that one in front of the other one. So you can combine them and make it say something bad.
Is it bad?
I don't know.
It's bad in appearance.
That does remind me of a certain job I once had where we sold different colors of chalk for pool tables, and I convinced somebody to change the wording on it because it was khaki and tan and camel and all that, and I convinced the person to change the code so it said camel taupe. What are you laughing at, Kevin?
Yeah, what would be hilarious is if actually you sold camel taupe.
Oh, I did.
When you handed the receipt over to someone, did you like circle it and say, if you got any questions about this product, just return it, and you just keep on circling it and you're like drawing attention to it?
No, I didn't draw attention to it.
Because most people would just be like, receipt.
Yeah, but it did print on every receipt. Box of camel taupe. So, anyway, guys, pick up the Batgirl Endgame book. The gorgeous, gorgeous artwork in here, too. And really, the colors, I think, are what really set the artwork apart on here.
Yeah, what I do like about Batgirl is the art. It's always drawn me to this, because it's I don't know, there's something about the clean lines. This is pretty.
Yeah. Well, and I think the new costume and the new version of Batgirl since they've done the new 52. I don't know. I'm really impressed with this book, and I think the kind of redesign with Cameron Stewart and Babs Tarr and, you know, Brendan Fletcher on the main book has been phenomenal. So that's what I got for off the shelf. Kevin?
All right. So I'm going to need some help, guys. So I picked up Amazing Spider-Man number 16.1. So I figure 16.1, it's typically like a one-shot meets beginning of the story arc. And that's what we have here. This is the start of, I'll just call it the Spiral story arc.
Okay.
And Spiral is a renegade or vigilante, depending on how you like to class these characters. But is the Wrath, the Wraith?
The Raft.
Wrath, okay. Is this a new character?
I'm still stuck on Spiral. Are you talking?
I'm getting my characters mixed up. Okay, the Wraith is the new is this character that's in this issue of Amazing Spider-Man. I'm getting Spiral.
Spiral came from the Mojoverse. She's the six-armed, sword-wielding chick.
Okay, so there's probably zero relation between that Marvel character and what the name of the story arc is then. Unless, amazingly, there is no Spiral in this book.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so I'm just getting confused.
So you do need her help.
Absolutely, guys, because I'm desperately to enjoy reading Spider-Man. I had several issues where I was reading it, I was digging it. I went out and then I tried to come back, and I keep on trying to come back. And I think this is a good jumping on point, though. I'm still a little lost in here and there. I need some help on filling in the blanks. Like, and I'll get to the review here in a moment.
Okay.
But I know of the character Tombstone.
Yes.
Yes.
What's his deal? Anyone know what his deal is? Does he got powers?
I think he's like unbreakable skin or something.
Okay.
And he's dusty. He's, you know, he has tumbleweeds that come out of his butt.
What?
Tony's silently shaking his head. No, no.
Okay. Well, so Tombstone's in this issue. Vigilante, Renegade, the Wraith. She's in this issue. So what we have here, Amazing Spider-Man 16.1, written by Jerry Conway, art by Carlo Barbieri, and cover by Arthur Adams. I just picked up the normal.
Dude, that's a hell of a creative team.
Yeah, well, I see there. It's now help me out here. He in the book it says, yes, he's back, referring to Jerry Conway. So I assume he was off the team for a while, and now he's back.
Jerry Conway?
Yeah,
Jerry Conway is a legendary writer. He's one of the people who was involved in killing Gwen Stacy.
Okay.
Like, way...
I definitely knew the name, but I just figured that he was, you know, always been around, but...
Yeah, well, I mean, Dan Slott's been, you know, writing Spider-Man for quite a while, but, yeah, Jerry Conway's a legendary writer on that series.
Okay. Well, this is kind of a nice leading in for me, because I tried to pick up a couple Spider-Verses. I was just absolutely lost. So, I'm like, all right, this is where I can jump on. And, yeah, there's definitely some great things that, you know, lead me into reintroducing myself into this universe.
You know, I don't mean to interrupt, but if I'm correct, Jerry Conway actually created Tombstone as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's quite interesting. So you have Peter Parker. He's back from this big, huge conflict, and he's cruising around Manhattan. He's like, man, I'm bored. As you can imagine, he's quite bored because the Spider-Verse was quite an expansive storyline.
Yeah.
Going across several books and multiverses.
Well, one of the things, too, that he's also suffering is he's a little, not, like, weak, because he had some of his life force taken out of him at the end of it. So he wants to do good, but he's realizing, shit, I just don't have enough energy. Like, he's weak.
Really? Okay. That's interesting, because that's not addressed at all in this book. It's kind of just, this is kind of like a grassroots episode. of Spider-Man, in my opinion, because this is him trying to get back to a normal crime-fighting neighborhood Spider-Man. He's going on some raids. He's working with law enforcement, and that's there's a tie-in to the police officer chief, Yuri, who is also... I don't want to keep on saying the Spiral, but it's the Wraith. And...
The Spiral.
You know, what's screwing me up is I have Spiral in my mind because of the classic board game, X-Men Alert.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of the bad guys in that game. But this is a good jumping on point. You just need some friends to help you fill in some blanks. Thank you, guys. So the gist of it is that Spider-Man and the Wraith are trying to bring down some corrupt individuals that have been influenced by Tombstone. This is all about turf wars because the Kingpin is apparently out of the city. So this is a really nice start to a nice a big story arc.
Well, the Kingpin's been busy filming that Daredevil Netflix series, so you know, it's hard for him to be able to do both.
Who do they have cast as that?
Vincent D'Onofrio.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
But one of the reasons why I keep on going back to Spider-Man, obviously Spider-Man, nice character, relatable. Found out in these pages, oh, he has his own company now? Okay, cool. Gone are the days of him being...
A lackey.
Yeah.
Well, when Otto... This was all for when Otto was Spider-Man. He got his PhD for him, and so he's finally... Well, he graduated college, but now he's got his doctorate. Well,
yeah, he was a couple classes shy of getting his.
So he finished that for him. Pretty much, Otto Octavius did a lot for Peter Parker that he should be thankful for, especially making his own company so that he doesn't have to take photographs.
Yeah, Parker Industries or whatever it is now.
Well, I always find comfort in the art because it's always so crisp and just really gorgeous to look at. Whether we're just talking. Just a single panel, a full page splash. It's all very, I'll say eloquent, very detailed, and I don't know, there's something comforting in that. I know it may seem silly, but it's just one thing that allows me to get into a book.
No, like I totally get it, because like, I mean, if there's a certain style of art that, you know, has that, I guess, almost warming quality to it where you open it up and there's a comfort level there that allows you to be drawn much more into the details of the story. That's the way comics should work, you know, and there's different styles of writing, different styles of art in so many different examples that are out there. That's the great thing about comics, and I think that's one of the reasons why we've always liked them, is because there is something out there for everybody that you're going to find. So, No, I get exactly what you're saying, Kev.
Yeah. But this is a good jumping... this is a great jumping on point for me. I'll be picking up a few more of these issues. So, if anyone's had some issues with Comixology lately, throw me a line. Throw us a line, because... That was actually the most frustrating part. I downloaded this digitally, and god damn, this just seems like every other page is having problems loading. And it's not my internet connection. Pretty good, solid connection, but
yeah.
Anyway,
part of the review is the download sucked.
Yeah, no. Another gripe I have actually is in the kind of the drawing of Wraith. I mean, it's kind of a cool looking character, but I mean,
I'm trying.
Her boobs are huge.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it's nice. It's some nice TNA, but
yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, hey, it's a trade off. You don't have gore in this, though.
Oh my. Excuse me. I did read a book this week. I'll leave the name off the table, but I can't. I can't leave the name off the table. It was called.
Obviously, you can leave it off the
table. No, God, no! Fuck you guys. No, it was. I'll look it up. It was something involving sports.
Oh, was it the? It was that DC book.
It was Vertigo.
Yeah, Vertigo. It was like Weird Tales of Sports or some shit like that. Yeah,
something like that. And I'm like, oh, okay, this is sports. It's weird. Sign me up. Though I did resist because it was $4.99.
So did you buy it?
I did buy it, and I was disappointed because I didn't. Actually, it was not a bad book. But there was too much gore for me to say, "Hey, this is something that you should be picking up."
We gotta
look up the real name of this.
No, I'm on it right now. But
our crack team of investigators.
Yeah. No. How was the CM Punk story?
Hmm.
Did you see that? There's a story by CM Punk in there. Strange sports stories.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
I know he was doing what, and I know this is like a 4-issue miniseries, so maybe his story wasn't in this one, but I thought it was supposed to be.
Yeah, honestly, I always read first, and then I go back and see, and time constraints, I didn't look to see who did everything on it, but I just didn't really relate to me because there was a tremendous amount of violence.
See, I couldn't relate to it because I have no athletic ability whatsoever.
Well, neither do I, but I like sports. I'm horrible at sports.
Yeah.
Running, I guess, is that's sort of a sport.
Sport.
No.
Well, if you're running away from something, then maybe. Might be sport.
It's more sport for them because they're trying to catch you, you know. cool. Well, yeah, I did double check here just to kind of give you a little history on Jerry Conway. He started writing the Spider-Man back on issue number 111 in August of 1972, and he wrote 38 issues. In there was the death of Gwen Stacy and
all know what you're talking about.
Death of Gwen Stacy and the first appearance of the Punisher was 8 issues after he killed her. So I mean, like he has a lot of notoriety just from that. But anyway, Kevin, I do have one question for you before we move on. The fact that you want to read Spider-Man stories. They got you to pick this one up, or is it that you just kind of like the Spider-Man universe, or character?
Well, I've always enjoyed Peter Parker and his stories. They're quite
amazing,
spectacular at times. Hell, they've even been superior to others.
No, it's just something. It's just I guess I'm. It, for me, it's just nostalgia.
Okay.
I'm very nostalgic for the character. I've read almost his entire history leading up to the 80s. So
picking up new stuff now kind of feels like it's a home base for you to go to.
Yeah, it really does. And I want to feel comforted in my reading from a familiar character. I haven't really felt that in a while with him, and this is about the closest I've been.
The only reason I'm bringing this up now rather than last call like normal is because it's perfect timing. Silk, I reviewed issue 1 here a while back when it came out, obviously. Number 2 just came out this week, and had I not reviewed issue 1, I would have reviewed issue 2. This book, for somebody like you who likes Peter Parker back from the day, I think you'll really like this because your character in here of Cindy Moon, she's learning how to be a Spider-Man character.
Okay.
And she was bitten by the same radioactive spider that bit Peter Parker, so she has very similar, if not almost identical, abilities. Amazing, amazing book to pick up. So if there are other people like you out there, I would highly recommend grabbing this. And the artwork is fucking amazing. I think you'll like this, the actual style and look of this book.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit of anime in there, a little bit of like Cartoon Network, but like definitely very detailed and adult, you know, feel to it as well. So anyway, that was a bonus review.
Oh, but, thanks,
Tony.
Well, Kevin, thank you for that friendly neighborhood review.
You're welcome.
Glad we're all fantastic friends here.
Wow.
I'm going to talk about Loki, Agent of Asgard, number 12, written by Al Ewing, art by Lee Garbett, and Loki has always been one of my favorite characters, more than Thor. I read a lot of Thor because of Loki, because of just who he is and how he made the Avengers. He has pretty much been pivotal in a lot of stuff within the Marvel Universe. And it's funny when you have some books that can kind of cross over to others. You don't see a lot of Apocalypse being the bad guy for Avengers books. But you see Loki being the bad guy of a lot of different books and crossing over to here and there just because of who he is and what he represents. And in the last couple years, Loki has changed from being a woman to being a kid to now being a young 24-year-old-ish person. And through all these different transitions of how he's been reincarnated and come back, he started off young, innocent person. Now that he's a young adult, he's trying to erase what he was before. Everyone, you know, kind of giving him shit for all this stuff that he's done. And he's now an agent of Asgard. The three women that are in charge of Asgard right now have kind of sent him on secret missions. And one of the things that's come up within this book is there's future Loki. Future Loki has now somehow come into our time, and he's evil. He's back to being the Loki that everyone has known. So one of the boggling questions is, how does this person who is trying to be good, who says he can be different, how is he going to turn back into this old evil Loki? And this book gave a lot of answers.
I have a question here first, because last I knew it was like teenage Loki.
Yeah, well, yeah, like, he was
like,
also...
Like Tiger beat Loki, kind of.
When he was off... when he was off with... God, I forget which book it was. The Young Avengers.
Yeah.
He had also somehow aged... I didn't read that book, but that's how I found out how he came to be like a 25-year-old guy now. Was something magical happened in that book, which then brought him up to being this age.
Okay.
So with that being said... This book reads kind of like a history of some of the overall story arcs that have gone on within Loki in recent past with pretty much future Loki. Well, it starts off with him in the future with King Thor and saying how he is going to kill him, because this is with Marvel and with other books, there's always multiple futures of who's ruling and who's doing what. But in this one, it comes to where... Midgard, Loki's king of it, and there's nothing there. Pretty much everyone's dead. The Avengers are dead. Thor has Asgard up there, and this is kind of some things that were taken from Thor before she became a woman, Thor.
Thor didn't become a woman. Thor just can't lift the hammer, okay. And now there's a new Thor.
Yes.
That's different. Cause
well, with the Thor, old Thor book from Thor, a year ago.
Yeah, Thor didn't have the take a dick for, take a dick to me, take a dick for me.
What?
Well, there's add a dick to me and take a dick for me, the two surgeries that you can have to be created one way or the other.
I don't think that one went over well, but...
more
you should have just stuck with tucking it.
Yeah. So with seeing this future, this is something that's already been set. So this future Loki that's in the past now has pretty much kidnapped the younger self and is explaining it. And while explaining it, he's saying, explaining how the path that he's on now, this younger self, is going to turn him into this evil adult being. And I love that in his storytelling, he pretty much renames some of you know how there's story arcs, you know, mm-hmm. for different books and their things. So he's like Original Sin, Thor and Loki, the Tenth Realm, Angel Wars, or another one, Call Me Bro, Call Me Foe. Like, then there's the one of when he, the case file, when he found out of who the woman Thor is, because obviously that hasn't happened yet in the comic books, but saying actually it's about ethics and hammer wielding and things that are yet to even come, like Loki Forever, Ultron Never. Him just telling these stories of these are the paths, these are the decisions that you're going to do. And one of the, doesn't even have to do with that, but I texted you the picture.
Yeah.
Because he says he's unlocked, or he will eventually find out who the woman Thor is. But even Thor, future Thor, is saying, and I promise you, Mjolnir, in the name of she who bore you best, we shall avenge them all. Like, you couldn't just say who that is. Like, in this comic book, you're still making that a mystery, which
it's theoretically possible, though, that these creators aren't privy to who it's going to be.
Oh, yeah, and well, I wouldn't expect them to spoil who it is in here. I just find it
be such a dick move.
Yeah. People that aren't even reading it, all of a sudden gets on the message boards of, hey, picked up Loki and found out actually who she is. But I thought that was just great writing from doing across, you know, different books. And with him telling all these stories, you're just like, no, you're rooting for this young kid to change his ways. And you even see within it how he has talked about each of his missions. What he's paid in is something greater than gold. It's erasing his past deeds from record and memory. And since they're the All Mothers, they could do that. Meaning anyone that he talks to, anyone he runs into, they won't even know that he was did these past evil things.
Here's my question. So with future Loki, obviously this Loki then survives Secret Wars.
Yeah. You would think, but if all the times are merging and there's going to be one true timeline, who the fuck knows? I know that this book is concluding next month, so, and it's not on the solicits anymore, so.
But I guess, see, and that's the whole thing with this, and we'll get into a little bit more of this when we cover our news this week, but when you have a book like this that has people coming from the future, it obviously, you can't come from a future that doesn't exist. So with a future, like with these worlds merging and these universes merging and all this, this Loki, now it's one of two things. Either this Loki is from the version of Loki that managed to survive, which he was always a prick and never, you know, and was never good. And he's coming back fucking with the current Loki because he's like, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm a trickster. That's what I'm going to do. Or it's the, you know,
actually him,
the actual version. Now, then again, it could be the good version going back, talking. He's still good in the future, but he has to be a trickster and has to trick him
to be good, to think he's going to turn evil to do. And that's the mind fuck of reading this book, that I want to believe that Loki, but as I've said before, he is such a iconic good bad guy that I can't see them totally having him be this good person for so long. They're going to want to reuse him in his trickster ways, but part of me really wants him to be still here. Just kind of like I still want Otto Octavius to still be a superior Spider-Man along with Peter Parker. Have two Lokis, just let them coexist, and I don't know. But he is the god of lies, so you can never trust everything he's saying.
Do, 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 do.
God of lies, has he always been that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not a god of, that's one of the things he points out in there. It's not that he's ever been evil. Evil is, yes, there's some people that are evil, but he's always just been the god of lies, which most people say lies are evil, but in some ways, the things that he's done, he's tricked people into doing better things. So, that's my two cents.
All right.
Let's do some news.
Let's do some news. Speaking of two cents, What, nothing?
Speaking of... We have so many angles you can go with that.
All right, well, speaking of 2 cents, there was a thing that popped up that DC Comics on the newsstand are appearing with a price tag of $4.99, but perhaps they're $3.99. And some people are getting their panties in a bunch over that. And I'm like...
How does that relate to 2 cents?
Well, because there's 50 of those 2 cents that are the difference
okay.
between a $4.99 book and a $3.99 book.
All right. So how do you guys feel about that? My opinion is that, hey, if they can go for it, do it. I myself, fuck that. I'm not going to pay an extra buck.
Well, here's my thing. I'm not buying it off a newsstand anyway because you know the thing's got creases and everything else. Like, And
seriously, they still sell them at newsstands?
Well, seriously, who? Okay, what newsstands? Like, people took pictures of them, like, you know, the comic books in the wild, you know? And I'm like, where are these newsstands? And the only place I can think of newsstands still, you know, now maybe in big cities they still got newsstands, but... Last time I was in New York, I didn't see a newsstand.
Well, this is probably just a general statement about where to get it.
But yeah, if you're going to, like, you know, your local convenience store and the newsstand in there, well, then fine. And here's my thinking. You know, if you're not gonna go to your local comic book store, which most comic book stores actually offer a discount anyway, if you're part of their membership or you have a pull or something like that, there's some kind of perk. Then if you're buying it on the newsstand, pay your extra dollar, go support the local comic shops and save money and give them money. That's my thinking.
Okay.
No thought.
Tony? No thought on that. I'm just going to go on to the next thing.
All right, yeah, just moving on. No segue.
Something that I like. I don't know. Deadpool movie and find out more. TJ Miller tweeted out that he's going to be Weasel in the upcoming movie, which will be great.
Who's Weasel again?
He's his arms dealer. Okay. Then kind of betrays him and then kind of comes back guy. But good friend of Deadpool's. One
spoilers.
Of the few.
Spoilers?
But then...
wait, the guy who betrays him is a friend?
Well, enemies won't betray you. You know they're going to get fucked by that.
Oh, I never pronounce her name correctly, but the chick that's on it.
Marina Baccarin?
Yeah. She's also just recently tweeted out a picture of who her character is, saying it's Vanessa. And then...
Is Vanessa the love interest?
Well, I don't know if it's a love interest. I mean, Deadpool loves a lot of people, but...
And chimichangas.
Yes. But she's going to be playing another one from Rob can't draw Liefeld.
Liefeld, yep. Yeah.
That this person's appearance was in New Mutants number 98. So Vanessa within there, also known as Copycat. So we now have a confirmed another mutant person within the realm of the Deadpool cinematic universe.
Well, Tony, I know something you're insanely excited for is the Fantastic Four movie.
I am actually not.
No, why? You're really excited about this. I know.
Why? I mean, okay, it almost sounds like you're, like, you don't really give two shits about it.
I don't, because it is shitting on the family of Fantastic Four. The way that, not even just casting, but as I've bitched before.
Tony, we're family. We're all family here.
I know we are, so I don't need to raise my voice to you.
But
that Doom is not Doom. That Doom's a tech... And I'm hoping that the trailers are trying to... throw me for a loop here, but that they don't get their powers from cosmic radiation, they go to the negative zone and get it, like, that's a big deal of how they got their powers, and it's really making it a different movie than what it should be.
Hey, fuck you, fanboy. here, you'd be excited about this. They're going to have traditional costumes, though.
What does that mean?
Yay!
What does that mean?
Blue spandex with a four on it.
Yeah, that's pretty much all that it means. So they're not going to do the dark and gritty X-Men all black type thing.
That's how they're paying fan service. They're going to change the entire story, but they'll have the outfits. So, I mean, come on, that's fun, right?
Yeah.
See, I could that there was one until you mentioned this the other day.
Oh, the Fantastic Four movie?
Yeah, I'm like, oh.
Yeah, yeah. Tony, you know, another movie that I know you loved was Dread.
and you're going to fucking pick this one next.
Yeah, because guess what? That's all you get. You don't get any more dreads.
I know. There was talk that they were going to try to do another one, maybe direct a video, and I'm not liking this news.
Yeah, they're pretty much saying... Yeah,
well, I mean, it was definitely better than the first, the Stallone one, but...
I was a little shocked because it was the screenwriter, Alex Garland, who said it's just not in the plans. And I found it interesting because there was a quote in the article that I read basically saying, he's basically telling people, don't even go try and buy, don't waste your money and buy DVDs in the hopes that it's going to happen because it's not. Save your money. Don't buy them. And I'm like going, Jesus Christ. You know, it's like,
I do still have... They will, within my lifetime, they will make another one. They'll come back to it. Like, news last week, I heard Valiant was in talks with making movies on their properties now and having their own cinematic universe. So I wouldn't see why fans are saying we want this, why some movie studio wouldn't come and say, here's $1 billion, let's make it.
All right. Who would you rather have play Dredd next, Nick Cage or Keanu Reeves? It can either be... Whoa, or whoa! Which one do you want?
God, I don't know.
I don't know. No. Tony, more things you love. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Now, this one, it will be mostly spoiler-free, but we can't talk about it without giving a bit of a spoiler that it appears one of the Ninja Turtles has been killed off. And I don't want to say who. I don't want to give too much away about the story. I will let you kind of decipher what you want to share on this. But how's your childhood feeling today?
It's kind of sad. I actually haven't read this issue, the latest issue yet. But I know the last issue that I read, Shredder pretty much felt he was betrayed. And the person that was helping him teleport to the island with the Technodrome was Donatello. Mm-hmm. So he left Bebop and Rocksteady back there, and his last words were, kill the turtle.
Whoa, wait. Oh, wait. Shredder told...
Bebop and Rocksteady.
Okay.
To kill pretty much Donatello because he felt that he was betrayed by him, which he pretty much was. So insurance policy, when they went through this teleporter... There's a lot of shit going on with this turtle book, which is amazing. You have Krang as one faction and his mutant rock men. You have then Shredder and the Foot Clan.
Wait, Colonel Shredder, you mean?
No, not even close to that horrible of a movie. This comic book is legit, and it is amazing what they're doing with the mythology of all this. So that's who I'm assuming had to have if they've killed him off. However, I'm hoping that it's one of those comic book deaths where you think he's dead, but... He's on life support and maybe gets a, you know, metallic shell or something.
He gets a pizza injection that saves his life.
Yeah.
Well, actually, that's my question. Do you think that you know, Eastman and the like, legitimately kill off a turtle?
No, because that's the basis for them, is four different colors, you know.
And four different artists, you know.
Different types of turtles, people.
Maybe they're
four different weapons. I mean, four is there. I mean, they are the fantastic of the four of the turtles.
They're spectacular turtles.
Yes.
They're superior.
No, they've had, like, in the run already, they had Leonardo pretty much become a bad guy and the right-hand man of Shredder, and that was a big, holy shit, didn't see that coming, and he's been unbrainwashed now. So to kill off long run, I don't see them happen without somehow getting another turtle that's Donatello. But within this setting of this comic book series, they're also reincarnated past selves, Splinter being their dad in old school Japan, who Splinter's spirit, and it gets into a little bit mythology of it too, so it's not that they just were mutated or whatever, but their essence came from back then to here, because one of the reasons why is Shredder also... being a Rokusaki from back then, has pretty much lived this
being
long.
Being what?
Rokusaki?
I have no idea what that is.
That's his name. His real name, not just Shredder.
Okay.
So, there's a lot of stuff going on in the book that I love. So.
All right. Cool. Got a couple other little tidbits here. One of the first ones that I wanted to bring up. You guys heard me talk about Lady Killer, the Joel Jones and Jamie S. Rich. Is that right? I'm drawing a blank, and all of a sudden my tablet is not. Yeah, Jamie S. Rich. That book from those two. Jamie S. Rich has now joined Vertigo as a senior editor there. So just kind of wanted to give congrats to him on that. You know, amazing. So that was one thing I wanted to bring up. Tony, did you have any other news stories you wanted to bring up this week?
Well, just Secret Wars. That's all I can say. Secret Wars is so mind-boggling. What the hell's going on? We talked about all those titles that were coming out.
Mm-hmm.
As I've said, though, there's been a lot of news and talk about current titles that aren't coming out, which ones are going to be replaced by what.
There's apparently 33 different titles that are going to end. Now, here's the kicker, though. It doesn't mean that they won't restart, because everybody loves number ones.
Mm-hmm. But, like, one of them I know, Guardians of the Galaxy, that's ending. However, it's their Secret Wars title is Guardians of Nowhere. So that's probably going to be a direct coming off their storyline. But a lot of these books, they are just ending, whether they start up with a whole new thing or the aftermath of Secret Wars.
Well, you've got all new, amazing, uncanny Spider-Man and the regular X-Men. So five X-Men books are ending. So
pretty much, yeah, all the X-Men books are ending right now. But then you have the Age of Apocalypse, and you have Old Man Logan, if you want your...
Thor is ending, which that one I'm like, what?
But they're also having the Thor Corps going on. They're going to be the policemen.
So Thor Corps!
Yeah,
there's... actually, we saw this the full list on slashfilm.com, if you guys want to go check that out. There's... one other just little tidbit of news that I did want to make mention of. For those of you that are reading the Star Wars comic book series, John Cassaday is leaving after issue 6, and Stuart Immonen is stepping in. So I'm kind of curious to see what kind of art style change that will bring with it, if it's still going to be closer to that photorealism look, where there's a lot of, to me, clear panels taken directly from the films for, you know, reference, or what it's going to be.
But, well, one of the things we mentioned last week was of this Star Wars event happening in September, mm-hmm. in this comic book debut or whatever. And now light is this new series that they're going to have is going to bridge the gap between Return of the Jedi and the new movie. So there's going to be a series that actually will be now, whatever, 20 years afterwards, you'll see, or will span the 20 years up until now. So that'll be an exciting new book to see interesting plot points that may be revealed in the new movie coming up.
I had one last thing. Did you guys have anything else before we wanted to move on?
No.
All right. Last thing, and this is actually probably the biggest news story of the week. There was a cover that was a variant cover. If people aren't familiar, I think it's here next month is going to be Joker month for DC Comics, which... it's celebrating the 75th anniversary of the Joker and his first appearance. And pretty much, because Tony, you love variant covers from DC.
Oh yeah, I buy them all.
Yeah. So they're going to have, like, every month is a variant cover month, but it's going to be Joker month. Well, one of the covers that was commissioned was commissioned from Rafael Albuquerque, and basically he was given free reign to do whatever he wanted. And they decided that they were going to... Now, I don't know what the request was for the variant cover from DC, if they even told Albuquerque what cover it was going to go on, or if they just said, we want the Joker and whatever. Well, he did an homage cover to The Killing Joke, which had Batgirl... basically, you know, being held at gunpoint while the Joker's drawing, like, a what appears to be a bloody smile across her face, and mm-hmm. she looks terrified. And they wanted it to go on the Batgirl 41 issue. there was a lot of backlash from people, and including the actual creators on the book, which we talked, which I mentioned earlier, with Cameron Stewart, Brendan Fletcher, and Babs Tarr. The backlash primarily being the fact that this is a reference to a very, very dark time in Batgirl's history. And even though the histories have been rewritten, you know, in the Killing Joke, that was where he crippled Barbara Gordon and left her in a wheelchair. And it's alluded in the comic book that he may have even, like, sexually assaulted her as well.
And see, that's where reading people's thoughts and everything, and yes, he definitely had pictures of her. I don't feel that that would be something that the Joker, as sadistic as he is, really would have done anything physical with her, though. That doesn't, I mean, and that's not even the point of this variant, but when people are saying that, I'm like, do you know who the Joker is?
Well, there's also rumor, though, that in the original version of it, he actually did rape her.
Okay.
But, you know, so it, beside all that, here's the thing. This cover has a lot of people pissed off and a lot of people saying that, you know, oh my God, I can't believe you do this. And especially in this day of all the PC bullshit, which, you know, I'm not a fan of. However, it's a gorgeous cover. I think it should have appeared somewhere.
Well, it's a variant. It would be a select few. So you still have other regular covers you can pick from.
Right. But here's my thing. I don't think this was a proper choice for that book. So I think when Albuquerque requested that it not be run, DC agreed with it. You got the creators like Stewart, Fletcher, and Tarr saying it shouldn't be on this book. I think they did the right thing by pulling it. It doesn't mean that that cover shouldn't have appeared on a different book, in my opinion, but it should not have appeared on the one that they had it selected for. So that's my two cents. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Well, really, I mean, in the last 6 months to a year, there's been a lot of conversation about domestic violence. Because
mm-hmm.
I'm a big sports fan, and if anyone, you know, heck, it's been mainstream news, the issues the NFL's had with domestic violence. It's really up to the forefront, and you see, when you showed me that for the first time, I'm like, well, I could see why some people would have an issue with that, is because you have a man holding a woman, but on the other hand, well, it's cartoon violence.
Yeah,
I mean, because when's the last time we've read something where a male villain has uppercutted a female superhero?
It's been a while, at least for me.
Yeah, but it's happened. It's not unprecedented, and it will always be there.
Yeah.
So, well, I mean, it's a fine line between reality and fantasy. And
yeah.
I guess I could see some people's point of view, but I don't know. For me, I'm on the fence about that subject.
Yeah. Like I said, I think it should have been on a different book, and I think it should have appeared. I just don't think it should have been on that one. Now, there's one other thing, and I will have to see if I can find it to share it with you guys. But and I know you can find it if you Google it, something about somebody played with the eyes on that cover. And it was very interesting because the difference...
someone give, like... Joker, like, googly eyes or something?
No. Basically, what they did was they altered the actual look, and I did save a photo of it so you guys could see the difference between the terrified look in her eyes in the original to almost an angry look where she's looking up over her shoulder at the Joker. It changes the tonality in that cover completely.
Yeah,
and I'm curious if it would have been in that format, if there would have been the same outrage.
One looks like she's, like, the victim. The other one looks like,
she's in control, even though he's got the gun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, it's an interesting thing. We're more than happy if you guys want to chime in, like, on, you know, on Facebook or Twitter or something like that and talk to us about it. Love to know more. But anyway, we got to wrap that up because we got caught up a lot more in in news than expected. So, Tony, I'm going to segue right into Booze in a Book for you, because it's also a Best on Tap at the same time.
Okay.
And it's the perfect time for us with Batgirl. What? You're looking at me like I'm a weirdo.
Didn't we already talk about that?
Well, we talked about the fact that this cover was coming out, but this is the newest issue of Batgirl. Why can't I find the freaking issue number? Because it's the variant cover. But anyway, new Batgirl, and it's the movie poster variant with Tony.
Purple rain, purple rain.
No. Yes, it is the Purple Rain Batgirl cover, which on the nose, and I don't care that we've used this this booze before. We're going to pair.
Oh, we use boozes all the time. It's whatever we feel fits the criteria for the week, which is us saying whatever the criteria is.
The criteria for the week now, is that with two E's or an EA and week?
Got to have the Z at the end.
Oh, yeah, the criteria for the weeks. But anyway, the main reason, obviously, the color, but this is, you know, the best Batgirl team that I've seen, you know, with Fletcher Tarr and Stewart on this. And, yeah, both of them go down smooth, and they make you feel happy at the end. So there you go. That's Booze in a Book, brought to you by InkWhiskey.com. Go check them out. Lastly, I have for Indie Turnpike, I've got Chrononauts, number one from Image Comics. This is Mark Millar and Sean Gordon Murphy.
Is this time travel?
This is time travel.
Damn, I was going to almost pick it up, and I was like, this got to be time travel, but then I didn't, and that would have made me happy if I did.
Well, it's funny. There's a couple things in here that I really wanted to bring out. By the way, Matt Hollingsworth did colors on this. But I talked time travel a while back with 8, and it was kind of funny because I'm reading this, I'm like, Chrononauts, and I'm like, oh, wait, that's what they call the people in 8. They're Chrononauts as well. And so 8 number 2 came out this week, and so there's the last of my last calls that I had to give the shout-out to anyway. But I wanted to bring this up because Sean Gordon Murphy, I talked about him when he was doing The Wake, that he draws things as if you were watching a movie. I mean, his fucking panel layout and transition from panel to panel is just fucking solid. But there was a little point in here where I knew you'd get a huge kick out of, because they're having this little press conference talking about how they are, you know, how they've created this time machine, and there were different prototypes. And, you know, you see like a little satellite from NASA up here at the top. But then you look down here along the side and see some of their other potential prototypes. There's a phone booth, which may or may not be a TARDIS. There's that weird little, was it Journey to the Center of the Earth? Was that the, like, remember that Big Bang?
The time machine?
Yeah, the time machine. What was that?
That's called the time machine. I don't know if it was called anything else.
Okay, but that, in that one episode of Big Bang where they bought the prop.
Yeah.
That they've got that in there. And there's a DeLorean on stage as some of their prototypes, which are great little Easter eggs just drawn in there. This is a cool book. If you guys like time travel, it's a fun one. This is a setup to, I think, what's going to be a pretty awesome story arc on there. And you really can't go wrong with Murphy's artwork on the whole thing. I mean, it's just fucking amazing. And the spreads that he does are just beautiful.
Ooh, in letterbox format.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of cool. Yeah. But then again, like I said, he draws like you're watching a movie. So pick it up. Oh, by the way, I got the variant cover from Fiona Staples on this one.
So are you excited to watch it on film?
Is it coming to film?
Yeah. One day after the first issue on the comic book shelves, Universal has already snapped up the rights to the film.
You know, I said this with The Wake. There's absolutely no reason. Like, all you have to do is just take the comic book and hand it to people, because It's already storyboarded. You don't have to change anything that he's done. You can go shot for shot sure. in the book that he draws. So, yeah.
That's hilarious. That in a good way, that already a book already snapped up.
Well,
I mean, I don't know if that means that Hollywood's like, oh, they know a good thing, or they're desperate for stuff.
Well, we talked about Descender last week, that it got picked up before it was even released. So, anyway. All right, well, with my little having to jump in and talk more this week, I covered what I needed for last call. What'd you guys have?
Transformers, number 39. Love it. Gonna have to get to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, so I haven't read it yet, but I'm sad that there's the death. And Captain America and the Mighty Avengers, number 6, was awesome reveal because Warren Ellis' Next Wave is canon. That's all I'm going to say for those nerds that have read Next Wave. Everyone should.
Kevin, do you have anything else?
Yeah. Superman 39. That's nice. Star Trek and Planet of the Apes.
Oh, I can't. That's one I'm picking up in trade when it comes out.
Yeah, that's on 4. That was good. And Green Lantern's New Guardians, an end. An end. I don't know where they're going to go with that, but that's it's over, man. It's over. No more New Guardians. No more White Ranger or White Lantern, whatever it wants to be called.
You know, there was a... There was...
I knew someone would get it.
Yeah.
If it wasn't here, someone listening would get it. No, but no, that's the end. He gave up his ring.
Yeah. Well, you know...
Spoiler alert. Sorry.
There was one thing, though, that I'm glad you brought that up because it reminded me. With all these Joker variants, there's a Green Lantern variant that has the Joker wearing a Green Lantern ring. And I was like, ooh, that'd be fun if he got a ring. But
that'd be cool. Well, it would be interesting. Yeah, it would be interesting to see, like, all... Because there's every DC title is going to have a variant.
Pretty much.
Yeah, so what would the Sinestro variant be like? You know, it's just the same cover, we're just hitting with a yellow ring.
Probably.
Okay, so... Can green hurt yellow in the Green Lanterns?
No, yeah.
Or yellow hurts green, but not the other way around. The
color restriction has been lifted.
Oh, has it?
Yeah. It's not the old school.
Because I was going to say, if green can hurt yellow, he just has to, like, rub his hair in Sinestro's face. And, yeah. Well, you're down. Weakling. Throw some dandelions at him. But, all right, guys. I'm done.
We're done a little bit ago, but...
Yeah. All right. Well... Keep reading your comics, guys. We'll be back next week. Talk to you more about them then.
All right. Ciao, guys.
Tony, quit nodding your head. I can't hear it.
Sorry, I'm zine.
What?
Zine? You're falling asleep on us?
Yep.
Oh, falling asleeps?